Bitcoin was like that jumper cable that just went and boom, just like woke me up.
Hard work is way easier than a life filled with anxiety and stress.
It's one of the things that we say in rehab, you know, where people are like, staying clean is hard. No, being homeless is hard. You know, having to figure out how to make your next move is hard. Chill, I got you. This is what I did. There is a way out. Even if you've been losing for decades, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, chronically homeless, the cops didn't want to take me to jail anymore. They're just like, dude, just get sober. If you don't care about yourself, find a higher purpose. That's what I did.
Don't forget to like the video and subscribe to my channel. Thank you so much for being here. And now let's get into the video. Welcome back. Today I have my friend Josh here. He is an inspiration and he has turned his life around. And he's here to share with us because, you know, he wants people to know no matter how hard life gets, you can turn it around. So thank you so much for joining me today, Josh.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your journey and, you know, how you turned your life around, like where you came from and how it all started. I just think that it's really important for people to know your background.
Well, since you asked, Miss Stacy, I'll start at the beginning, right? So basically, I was raised by my mom and my brother, right? And then I had a dad who was like kind of in and out of the pictures, like a lot of people nowadays. And unfortunately, he didn't have a dad, you know, so like at all, like not even a little bit, you know, so he didn't have any kind of example. And like, the more I speak to my mom now about it, the more I'm starting to come to an understanding about how his mindset was and like how he saw the world, right? And like why he operated in the way that he did, which has helped me a lot. But I come from a third generation drug addict family, you know, so like my dad's dad used drugs, my dad used drugs. And unfortunately, that's the same path that I followed, and I used drugs. And, you know, I grew up with something called dyslexia. It's like a learning disability. So like right away, my dad wasn't home. My mom's working double shifts. I'm in school. I can't read. You know what I mean? So like, I'm not saying poor me, but I just like, it just felt like I was set up to fail, you know, like they're just telling me I'm stupid and like, I'm not going to be able to advance in any kind of life, you know, and have any kind of life for myself because I'm not educated and I can't do well in school. So I didn't like chase those role models, you know, I didn't chase the studious role models or like going to college or anything like that. My brother did a little bit because he could read and he was good in school. So we turned out very different. But the pillars of the community that I sought after were getting into trouble. You know, they're all my homeboys and everyone, the boys that were a little bit older and were walking to school, and I started hanging out with them and getting in trouble and committing small crimes. And I ended up getting in some trouble, you know, and going to juvenile hall and doing a couple of years in juvenile hall, stuff like that, you know. So it was a little bit of a rough pass, you know, growing up without any kind of male role model or any kind of forget financial literacy, like just being like a member of society, you know, like if anything, when my dad would come home, I was taught that the rules didn't apply to me and that we had our own system of rules and we didn't listen to like the cops or anything like that. And we governed ourselves. You know what I mean?
So when you went to juvie, how was the, like, because he had that set of rules and he thought, you know, he probably had that idea that the system is not here to help us. So he just thought we got to do what we have to do to survive. Right. So, but how did he react when you had gone to juvie back then? Or your mom?
My mom was very sad. You know, my mom was very sad and my dad was very, I don't want to say proud, but he was, I didn't like tell on anybody in my crime, you know? So he was like, oh, that's right. Like I have a solid man in my family now, you know? And then like in juvenile hall, wherever I was, which I'm not going to say, like, I can't believe I'm saying this on camera, but they let your parents come in and cut your hair, right? Like that's on them. So my dad came and brought me whatever, you know? And then I was able to figure out like, hey, the rules really don't apply to me. Like here I am in juvenile hall sitting in a cell and I'm still getting high. You know what I mean? So like there again was like some more reinforcement and like some bad information passed down from father to son on like how to get around things. You know, it was definitely not dirty hands, clean money, which is the slogan now, you know? And then when I got out, he was very proud.
And real quick, we will get into what your dirty hands, clean money slogan is, because that is super inspirational. And we will talk more about that as we get into the conversation. So go ahead from there.
No, yeah, you're good. Yes, I just remember getting out, you know, and then feeling like a sense of pride because like I didn't say anything and like I did my little time, I got out, and then things went pretty steady downhill from there. And then he went away again for like a long period of time, you know? So I didn't see him for about 12 years after that. It's a time when you need your dad, you know? It's a time when you should have some kind of structure or someone to show you. So I kind of had to figure it out myself, and I stayed with my cousins that were in the same lifestyle, you know. It was like kind of a family affair, and it got really bad. It got really bad, you know. I didn't know what PTSD was. I didn't even think like Mexicans got PTSD. You know what I
Right,
mean?
it's too. I think the same way about that. I'm like, what's PTSD?
Exactly. Yeah. So apparently, I have a complex PTSD, which is like for multiple situations in your life, let's call it. And it got really bad to where like I didn't trust anybody, you know. Was just like in and out of motel rooms, and then like eventually the motel rooms didn't really matter, you know. And then my fr like I
So
didn't
was
really
the PTSD triggered by the fact that you didn't have security, or you didn't have your dad around, or you didn't feel like you had, or was it just because you thought you might get in trouble again, or what was the, what do you think it
I
was?
want to tell you, like, it's just like this wave of anxiety that hits you because you have illegal stuff on you, you're doing illegal stuff, you're on parole. Or probation, whatever you're on, like it's just like at any minute you could get snatched up. You're not gonna be around. Then you go to jail. Then you got to deal with everything in jail, and then it's just like this revolving door. Like I just live constantly, like ready to go back to jail. You know, like I would get out, like I'd be like, all right, I know I'm gonna go back in, but I'm gonna violate and do this and this and that. It's a really sad existence, you know, but it's an existence for a lot of people. Like I would be in jail, sitting there, and see somebody who was 50, 60 years old, doing the same thing, coming in on a violation, doing his little time, and that ended up being his life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if by 80 he got it, but I'm just saying, like, there were multiple people where this ends up being the entirety of their life. They're just, you know how there's military men, you know, there's people in the service, and then there's civilians. There's like another class, like of convicts. You know what I mean? That's all they do is they come in, they come out, they're on probation their whole life. And a lot of it is drug fueled, you know, it's addiction fueled, and they don't know that they're self-medicating for whatever reason they are. And there has to be a point in a man's life when he has to stop blaming other people, you know? And I reached that point. You know, I have every excuse in the book to not get a job. I'm a ex-felon. I'm this and that. I have tattoos on my head. I'm blah, 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 blah. My dad was this. My grandpa was this. But I had to choose and make a decision to it's like if you get knocked out by somebody big, like no one's going to blame you for getting hit by a big guy and being on the ground, you know? But if I come back 6 weeks later and you're still on the ground, like, you know what I mean? Like I had to
Right.
get that, you know? Like I had to
Did
gain.
somebody or something, or was it a program, or was it something that clicked for you that you realized I need to take control and change something? Or was it just you that just thought, I can't keep blaming the world for what's going on? I have to just do something, or, you know, and I want to know what that something was after.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So basically it was a couple of things, you know. It was I have a close friend of mine that was in the same lifestyle as me, and I saw him get clean, right? And he's the one who started taking me to job sites and getting me into construction, right? He's like, don't trip, just come with me, bro. Just come with me. And we're just gonna earn this money and not go to jail. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, cool. I like that because I didn't want to listen to anybody. Like, you know, people would tell me like, oh, you gotta not do bad and do I'm like, bro. Who are you? Like, I have no idea who you are. You have no idea what I've gone through or what I'm going through, you know? It was that my buddy, you know, he kind of like, I saw somebody else doing it because I'm really big on actions. Words don't mean that much. You know what I mean? And then, when I went to that program, I met Miss Shelley. And she really challenged my paradigm, you know, like I went to a rehab. Sorry. I had sent you a speech earlier, I forgot, nobody else probably knows, but yeah, I sent you that I spoke at my old rehab, and I spoke to Miss Shelley, changed the way that I thought in a way. Like she was like, why do you think that this warrants respect? Like why do you think that people not wanting to mess with you is respectable? Like why do you think? And I was like, wait a minute, like wait a minute, wait a minute, wait, like the cloud was lifting, you know what I mean? Like I was like, you mean all this stuff my dad taught me is bullshit. Like, it's like not good. You know, it's like bad information.
So it's kind of like this ego of thinking I need to be intimidating to people, and you have to be this persona.
Yeah. Okay. So you're operating on fear.
Discreet, durable, the ultimate security. Visit microseed.io and use code NOVA for 5% off your order.
You're operating off of fear, right? So you're like, hey, I don't want anyone to mess with me. So I'm going to go ahead and put on this mask of who this person is, because I know this person no one messes with. And then when I'm with these people, I have to put on this mask and be this person, you know? And it's very tiring, and you can never, and those masks are created from, like, you know, the trauma of the world. You know what I mean? So like, when you're born with like every seed of greatness inside you, you know, whatever your God or God has planned for you, you know? But as you grow up in the world and the trauma starts to come into that circle, like, you start to get these masks to protect yourself. Like, that's how I look at it, you know? So I had to think of, I didn't even know who I was. I had no idea I was a father. I had no idea. It's so crazy too, because I was at that rehab and they had all these crazy classes like baking, you know, like cupcakes. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to take that because I want to have kids one day and I want to show them how to bake. So I'm like, I didn't even know, but subconsciously, like, I was preparing to be a father, you know? I took like parenting classes and stuff. Like, they're like, do you have kids? I'm like, nah, but I just want to get ahead, you know? So like, I don't know, like, I always had a higher purpose, and I think it was to be a father. But
it's almost like the people who, Miss Shelley, and the people who started these programs to have help for people. It's one of those things that when your dad was younger and going through life, he probably didn't have the same support for himself. So it takes those people to come out and volunteer and teach people like you to change and realize that what you were taught is not right. So when you have kids, or you have that subconscious idea to have your own kids, you aren't going to do the same things your dad taught you, because now you realize what he taught you wasn't the way life should be, and you shouldn't have to live in constant fight or flight, and you shouldn't have to live in fear. And if you think about it, you're going to these job sites and you're working hard, and people think, oh, that's hard work, that's labor. But what's harder, living with a constant state of anxiety, literally running for your life, or thinking, you know, you're always on the run, you're always scared, you're hiding, everything is more stressful to your system. But when you're working hard, you're at least doing something good physically for your body, and mentally that's good for you. So it's what's, I think hard work is way easier than a life filled with anxiety and stress.
It has given me like the biggest switch in my gratitude. Like, I'm able to look and be like, I can't believe, like, when people tell me like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I'm like, are you kidding me? I had a bad decade, bro. You know what I mean? Like, a bad day, we're still inside. Like, we still have a job. Like, we still are doing well, you know, like, we're still able to provide for our families, you know, like, this is one of the things that we say in rehab, you know, where people are like, oh, this is hard, you know, like, staying clean is hard. No, being homeless is hard. You know, having to figure out how to make your next move is hard. Having the only $10 you have and then spending it on drugs is hard. You know, like getting through those doors is like the hardest part, I would say. Like, admitting like, hey, I need help, and then be willing to accept that help, right? And not tell people how to help you, you know?
The other thing too is, you were in, like you said, it was a, you thought, family thing, your cousins were in it, your friends, your neighborhood, people that you knew were in this type of lifestyle, and that's just how the world looked to you. So you're just going to do what everyone else is doing, because that's how you learn. You know, you learn from, and if your dad wasn't around too, but even him, he was teaching you these things. So you have this idea of, because of your surroundings, this is how I grow up. But when you start to have people, like you said, I think your cousin, right, that was the first one to take you to the job sites.
One of my buddies, yeah.
Your friend. So your friend took you to, you know, the job site. And then it takes some people in your life, like, for him to have made a change. It's even interesting, like, who got through to him. And then it ripples through. It ripples through to other people. And then you can be around other people who are doing different things. It's just amazing to see that your surroundings really matter.
It's huge, you know, and you think you do all this for yourself. You know, you're like, hey, I'm going to do all this work, I'm going to get clean, I'm going to have a family. But really, it's so that you could show somebody else how to do it, you know, whether that be your own kids. Like, that's that.
Wow.
Not having to put my kids through what I had to go through, and then being able to be a good and present father, and then being able to watch them light up and be happy when I come home and not be scared or like nervous or whatever it might be. Like my son is almost four. Like my dad left the first time when I was a little bit under that. You know, I think I was like a little bit under three. So like I already feel like I'm winning. Like I already feel like I'm changing that family history, you know? Like, oh man, it is a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding, you know, to have kids. Like, it's crazy because some people, they have kids and it just doesn't like do it for them. But I don't know what it was, man. Like, I'm telling you, I was in the middle of a relapse, you know, and because that's what I do for myself. I relapse, you know, when I only have me and I'm like a selfish person. And then I had my son and I was just like, no way. There's no way I'm going to do this. You know, like, this isn't going to happen. He's way too adorable. Like, there's no way I'm going to put him through all this, you know, but I had no clue, you know, like I had no clue how to be a solid husband or how to be a good dad or to be a good worker. Like all I knew is if I just kept showing up and I kept putting my next foot forward, that I was going to get through it and I was going to get through it clean. And that's what mattered. And it's like, I just stayed prayed up. You know, I just, every morning I hit my knees, every night I hit my knees and I'm just like, hey man, like, I don't really know what I'm doing here, but just help me to make these kids' life good, you know? And like, it's been working, you know, like I got a beautiful career, man, that I love. I wake up pumped to go to work every day. You know, like I do laborious work. You're right. But I did work my way into the sales department and now I'm the head of the sales department. And so I do have to still work, you know, I can't just show up and point my fingers, but it's a lot less labor than I used to do. I used to be in the trenches all day digging for the sales department, you know? So, and my boss, he's one step up from me. He sits on the beach and calls on the phone. And then, you know, like, that's what I'm saying.
It's crazy to think that, yeah, you put in that hard work, you were in the trenches, and this is for people that don't know, it's plumbing, right? It's plumbing work. So, but you did that first level and you worked your way up to this level and there's one guy higher than you. That's amazing. And also you touched on, I mean, the selfishness part of it. I think so many of us before having kids, you are more of a selfish person, and having kids really changes that part of you. It really breaks down that ego that you thought it's all about you. But when you see an innocent, cute little baby, like you said, they're so cute and they're looking up at you and they don't know anything and they don't know how to do anything and they rely on you to literally be alive, you know? So you're like, this kid needs me, you know? And you have to, you don't have a choice. Like if you care about a baby, an innocent child, and you're, I don't know, I think you change your life for that kid. So was that the timeline? So how did it go from having kids? Like, was it after or before?
It was like this. You ready? So I decided to play bumper cars with my car, right? On a relapse. Boom, boom, boom. I'm messing up bad, dude. My kid's mom is like chasing me, calling the cops, telling the cops, like, you need to get this boy before he kills himself, you know? And then the cops took me in, blah, blah, blah. That was the last time I ever got. And I hadn't been to jail in a long time, you know? So it was like a wake up call in a way. Like, I'm like, dude, I'm in a cell again. Like,
was he born already, your son? Or was he?
Yeah, he was about 2 weeks old, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's how much of a POS I was, right? Like, it's just when you're in your addiction, like, you don't care. You don't care. Yeah. So,
but you're also thinking that, you know, it's such a crazy time when you have a newborn baby at home and your life just completely changed. And yeah, you're seeing this baby, but all they do is sleep. And you know, you figure like, okay, the mom is there with the baby and you're thinking that, okay, they're fine. They're only sleeping. I can go have some free time now. Cause this first 2 weeks was probably tough. You know, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever happens is because this is a whole life change. And you probably think, I'm not going to have many selfish moments coming up. So you probably had a chance and you thought, I'm going to go have fun today. And it turned into whatever it did. And then, so yeah, it's like things happen, but it wasn't for, I mean, it was like that type of a situation that really was like, okay, now that changed you after that, right?
100%. So what happened was I had 9 months clean. I had my whole pregnancy clean. I was good to go. I thought I was cool. I'm like, my kid's going to be born in 2 weeks. Let's have some fun. Like you said, right? I'm going to do it once because I'm a genius and that's how that works. No, you know, so I couldn't stop, right? Boom. I'm 2 weeks after the baby's born. I was supposed to stop when the baby was born, you know, and I couldn't stop, you know, and then I had that moment of clarity where I was like, I'm going to trade my kid's son, his whole future for this bag, you know, And I refused to do that. You know, I don't know what it was, but something in me told me I refused. And I called my buddy who had hookups with his mom, and they sent me to rehab the next day on a plane to Florida. Boom, I flew to Florida. Boom, that's where I got clean. And then I came back, you know? So.
Yeah. And your girl, she's watching you. Like, how was she going through this? Like, how long had you guys been together before the baby? Was she always just really supportive, and she knew you were hardworking and you were trying, and like, you know what I mean? Like, how was her mentality through this? So was she?
I don't like to call her names, but I was like, you're an idiot for being with me. What were you thinking? Like, just because I was handsome.
I thought you were going to say you're an angel. And you're like, you're an angel.
I was like, what were you thinking? I got tattoos on my head. I worked at a car wash. Like, you're like, oh, he's fine.
Do you still have tattoos on your head?
Yes, I do. I do.
Well, your hair covers it?
Yeah, I have like all over. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, just wondering. That's interesting.
No, you're cool. Yeah, you're good. But I'm just saying, like, and I used to have I'll send you a picture later. I used to have a shaved head and walking around. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, I don't know what she found attractive, but she did apparently at some halfway house. You know what I mean? So I always give her crap about that, you know, but her mindset was she saw something in me. She's like, hey man, like this guy goes to work every day. Cause I was going to construction sites. She's like, hey, he works a lot, you know. He's very kind. He's a nice guy, like underneath that layer, you know. And every woman, in my opinion, has that, like, I'm going to fix him, like, thing, you know what I mean? Like, so that, like, I guess I played off of that, you know. But it was sad. It was sad because I feel like I did this to some people. Like, I would kind of bring them in and they, like, kind of love me because I'm a genuine, authentic person. And then when you're on drugs, it does kill you slowly. So I feel like she get clean and she'd be like, Josh, you gotta go to rehab. And I'd be like, okay. I'd go for 30 days or whatever, clean up. She'd have me for a couple months, and then I would just keep falling off. And then it was like it became normal. Like, she would come see me, come visit me, bring me some clothes, bring me some belongings, you know what I mean? And like, that would have been my life if I wouldn't ever got it together. My kid would be coming to see me every couple months to rehab and be like, dad's gonna get better this time, he's gonna do it. Because I saw it with my own eyes. I saw guys with kids and families who had careers. And they'll go on good a year and a half, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, and fall off. And then here come the kids and family. And, you know, it's Thanksgiving and they're having the meeting there and they're eating there. And
well, that's how important it is thinking about that like you are seeing this, you're seeing people get better, come back, and you're seeing this cycle that you think, I want to get better, but I don't know if it's possible. You're just seeing everybody coming back at some point. So you're like, how long can I stay good for? How long will I be clean? But you're seeing that constant cycle over and over. So I think it's so important to see how you are doing and you are going back and you are now this motivational speaker for people. Yeah. And when I heard that clip that you sent me and your talk, I mean, you're a great speaker. You could tell it's pure, just genuine care. You know, you want people to know that it can be done. They don't have to just see, like, you're a success story, you know, your friend that helped you out. It's great to see people like that come to these places and talk to them and say, I'm not the once in a, you know what I mean? Like, I can do it, you could do it, but it's not impossible. It's not like everyone you're seeing come back here, this is it. There are people who make it out and they need to see more of that. So that's amazing that you do it.
You got to make some choices. You know what I mean? You got to decide, like, no. Like, I'm not going to mess up anymore. I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to work. I'm going to get, because I mean, it gets tiring. You know, you're doing the shuffle all the time. You lose your job. You got to go to a different company and you got to go to a different company and you never have any good work history. Then you never have any good credit. It all just like compounds on you, you know, and the world starts to beat you down and you start to think it's normal and you start to be like, okay, I'm just going to settle. I just want to make it. I don't want to put any more stress on me. I already, like, forget accelerating and having a better life. Like, I'm just going to get into survival mode because this is what my parents taught me, you know? And yeah, man, I couldn't do that to my kids. You know, I had to have a better future for them. But yeah, I mean, the older you get, the harder it gets too. You know, you have to just keep not giving up, because when you're young, you know, you go into places like that, a couple of days of rest, a couple of showers, and you're good to go, you know. But as you get older, it starts to take a little bit longer. You start to feel it, you know what I mean? So I start to take it really seriously. I figured, like, one day I'm not going to be able to recover fully, you know, like it's going to have some serious health issues.
That's a really great point. And that makes me think of a couple questions that George asked me to ask you. So George is my husband and he had a couple questions and he's a teacher. So he wanted to know, because he likes to also talk to our kids who are there at an age now where they can understand consequences and things like that. So he wants to know why it's so important to make good decisions early on.
I think it's so important to be guided in your decisions, you know, and to stand behind your word. You never want to be that parent who says like, you know, do as I say, not as I do, you know, like, you want to make sure that you can guide your kids in those decisions and those decisions look attractive because the outcome that you created for yourself is an attractive one in itself. Right. So if I tell my son, hey, you better work hard and you better bust your butt for your family. But then I come home and I'm miserable and I hate my wife and I kick my dog and I just drink 240s when I get home just to forget about life. Why would he want to do that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm like. It's important to make decisions early on. But I think it's also like that stewardship of the parents to guide them through those decisions and to create a role model for the kids that they want to execute those decisions so that they can end up like their parents because they actually want to be like their parents because their parents are happy. Do you get right. what I'm saying?
Like, yes. Yeah. And happiness is because, yeah, you're right. There are so many parents that tell you what to do, but they're not happy. So that happens constantly. So you're like, yeah, if you are a good example, then they want to follow your advice more. But I think what you were also touching on was how you feel like at one point you wouldn't be able to recover. So as you're younger, bad decisions, you can come back from them probably quicker. But as you keep compiling these snowball effect decisions, it gets harder to dig yourself out of that hole. So.
And it does. It really does. You know, like you really have to think like how am I going to make a healthy decision to better my future? You know what I mean? Like I made so many bad, you can make a lot of bad decisions and you can still bounce back. I'm proof, but you don't have to go through everything that I went through in order to have a healthy and good life. I'm not saying go homeless, get on drugs, do all this stuff so you can overcome, you know, like there's so many different paths you can take. But I think the main thing, like I said, would be for the parents, you know, for the parents to create that healthy lifestyle for the kids to role model after. You know, I feel like my dad didn't even have a healthy lifestyle. He was on drugs and he was into the neighborhood and he was always being busted or doing whatever he was doing. And I still followed him. You know, I still wanted to be just like that, you know, and I knew it was going to come with hardships, but I thought at least he had respect, you know, and that's what I was chasing at that time in my life. So I feel like these decisions that I'm making now are going to be decisions that my son is going to be able to enjoy and profit from, to where he's going to say like, oh, wait, like, look how fulfilled my dad is. Look how happy he is. Like, not just happy, like in the sense where like I'm like chasing like happiness, like cheap happiness, you know what I mean? But like actual fulfillment, you know? And then I hope that he chases that as well, you know, like to make a better life.
Happy, right. Like being happy with the being present, being able to enjoy your son and looking at him and being happy in that moment is so fulfilling. It's not just, you know, that consumerism and chasing the next thrill, you know. But one other thing, the other question he had for you was, if you could sit down with your 10-year-old self, what would you tell him?
Man, don't make me cry right now. I mean, man, I would just...
Second questions. I know.
Man, you know, it's so healing to be able to do for my son what wasn't done for me. I feel like I get to like protect that little boy by my actions with my son today, you know? So I don't know if I would have too many words to say. I'd probably just hug him a lot, you know? Because he didn't get that much of that growing up. You know.
And giving him the security too, that, you know, the hug is the security, but also just not letting him feel the fear that you felt or the anxiety you felt or the...
Bro, I would have just told him not to be an adult yet, to chill out, you know, stop trying to be an adult, you know, because I got into drugs at a very young age. I was like 11, 12. No one should be doing stuff like that with their parents or with their uncles or with their cousins. And it's very unfortunate. You know, it's very unfortunate. And I'm just happy that my kids aren't going to be around that kind of stuff, you know, especially in the city I live in. It's everywhere, man. It's like a pandemic. It's rampant, you know? So like having to move, I finally moved my family out of like that bad neighborhood, you know, into a nice neighborhood. And it's not the biggest place, you know, but I finally fixed my credit and I finally paid off my debts. And I'm talking to my mom about a couple financial things, and like a house is definitely in the future. A backyard is definitely in the future, you know? So it's crazy. Like, it's just so crazy, Stacey, how you can go from being homeless on Skid Row to like winning completely and ultimately, you know, like that's my whole message. Like you can be a loser, you know, like an ultimate loser on the bottom of a shoe, you know, like a piece of gum, and still turn it around. You know, that's my message to the world, that like, there's more out there for you. You just have to tap into it. You know, you just have to go for it. You have to risk it, and you have to try, and you have to forgive yourself and take responsibility for everything that you've done, and even stuff that's not your responsibility, so you can have control over it. You know, then you can say, I'm not going to let this affect me to where it's stopping me from having the life that I want to have.
That's so well said. That's incredible. It sort of reminds me, and I do want to ask about, well, first let's talk about Dirty Hands, Clean Money. I want to ask, tell people that don't know about your amazing saying that's really caught on and everybody, you know, loves saying it. So can you explain what that means and why that is?
Yeah. So I was wearing this shirt right here, right? That my buddy AA Stack made, right? And, you know, I was wild with my mom, and she's like, hey, what's that say on your shirt? You know, she thought I was like saying something bad or something. I don't know. You know, moms, they're always like investigative. You know, my mom's like the FBI, bro. It's crazy. Anyway, and she was like, what's that shirt? You know, and I was like, well, Dirty Hands, Clean Money. And she's like, what does that mean? And I was like, it means this family doesn't go to jail anymore. And she's like, she looked at me crazy. Like, what do you mean? I was like, it means my hands are dirty, but my money's clean, and no one's ever going to take it from me. Cause she would always tell me growing up, hey, that's the devil's money. He could take it whenever he wants, you know? And I'd be like, yeah. Hold on. I'm going faster. Let me go faster, you know? And my whole point is like, dirty hands, clean money means like, yes, I might have to do the dirty job. I might have to do the job that nobody else wants. I might have to crawl in that dangerous hole and do that connection for that main sewer line. I might have to go into, you know, knee deep in crap water to get this done. But at the end of the day, like, I earned this money, you know, and it's my money, and it wasn't through any ill gains. And then I learned about Bitcoin, because I was like, how am I going to turn this into like something lasting, you know, because I could work 40 years, my knees could be gone. I put it all in the bank. Then I don't even know how to do a trust because I'm financially illiterate. And then boom, my son just gets 40% taken right when I die, you know, and then anything he spends on, they're taking some of that. And then anything he does with that, they're taking some. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like a non-stop. They're just reaching in his pocket, you know?
That's amazing, because you find out not only that you can work hard, you know, get your hands dirty, make money, but you're not just going to keep it in a bank so it could wither away. You know, I love that she called it even the devil's money, because, you know, it's literally, it's corrupt. So that's why finding out about Bitcoin, that you can actually grow your wealth into the future for your son, you know, for your family and for yourselves, you know, so one day when you're older, you can actually enjoy life with him. You could work hard now and have more, you know, freedom later to do what you want and spend your life the way you want. Dirty hands, clean money. Did that saying come out after you found Bitcoin?
I would say I started before. I would start working. I was like, okay, I'm going to earn a good paycheck. So I start earning these paychecks. I do a couple side jobs. I go to cash a check and they're like, what's this money for? What do you mean? It's my check. Like, they wrote it to me, just cash the check, you know? And they're like, we want to know why, blah, 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 blah. It's going to take 10 days, this and that. And I saw that the system is the separation of state and finance, right? Like, I saw the system still controlled my money. Like, I saw that my son was going to have to deal with this. He was going to have to come up, show him why he wanted the money, what he wanted to spend it on, blah, 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 blah. Like, they were still had their hands in his pocket. He was going to still be a puppet, you know, to the system. But when I found Bitcoin in 2024, I was watching some videos. Andrew Tate's yelling at me. He's like, just buy Bitcoin. Stop studying it. And I'm like, all right, chill out, bro. Yep. So that was like my first introduction. I bought like $50 worth. And then the craziest thing happened. The next week, the $50 was like $55 and I didn't spend it. And I was like, interesting, interesting. So the next week I bought a little bit more. And then I realized like, man, everything I'm buying, not only is it going to go up eventually, you know, because it doesn't just forever go up like on a high time preference, you know, but it's still going to be there. You know what I mean? Like the amount of Satoshis are still the same, you know, and like if it's in my checkings, it's like back then, especially it was gone the next week, like I'm living paycheck to paycheck, you know? So like, I'm like, is this what it means to have assets? Like you actually have like something set to the side. And that was like the evolution of me thinking like, man, everything is going up in fiat prices, like always, like everything is more expensive, more expensive. Like we used to have Big Mac Mondays, like two Big Macs for a dollar, you know, like crazy stuff like that. Now it's like $7 for one Big Mac, you know? So like everything's forever going up in pricing and they can just keep printing this shit, you know? Sorry, they could just keep printing
it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like they just keep printing it, but they can't print more Bitcoin and everything's going down in Bitcoin prices. And like, I might not be the smartest guy on earth, you know, but like that clicked for me. I was like super excited. I was like, wait a minute, I can trade this stuff that they just print and I'm doing well at making, you know, because like when you start in the trades, the first 2 years, you don't make any money. You know, people just yell at you for stuff that you're not, you don't even know you're supposed to know, you know, it's crazy. But after the 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, like it starts to pick up and then you get into sales and it's just like you actually make six figures, like you do really well, you know? So like, I was like, man, I can trade this fiat for Bitcoin. It's crazy, you know? Like, look at the price 5 years ago. Look at the price 8 years ago. Like, am I like that naive to think that Bitcoin won't hit an all-time high again? Like, no, it's definitely going to. Like, and then I started to study the cycles. I started looking into hot wallets and self-custody. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, they can't do this to my son now. Like, when I bought my sewer camera and I took out my Bitcoin, like I had to take out some Bitcoin. It was like that. I had no problem with it. It was a problem at the bank when I wanted to get my cash out that I had the issue, you know, and they wanted to know where it was going, where I got it, what I was using it for, what my grandma's middle name was, like a bunch of random stuff, you know? And I'm like, dude, just give me my cash, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a financial tool for my son in my, cause man, it's going to be great for my son to grow up with me, you know? It really is. He's going to have a great life. Like you said, next year, I'll probably only work 5 days a week. Then I'll start to cut down to 4 days a week and then retire maybe by like 47, maybe 45, 47. You know, like that's the goal, right? Yeah. But I'm doing this so that he can be home with his kids and not have to work those 6-7 days a week to get us up above water. You get what I'm saying?
I also want to know, as a Bitcoin parent, now that you understand this, and as your son gets older, and as life gets cheaper for people who save in Bitcoin, when you have your kids who grow up and they see that, oh, I don't have to work 6 days a week and I don't have to work hard and I can have like an easy life. You don't want to make spoiled children. You want to teach them that they still need to do stuff. They need to work hard too. They need to, that idea of dirty hands, clean money. They still need to know how to do stuff and get a little dirty and they can't just be spoiled.
Yeah, no. I get what you're saying. That's where the whole fatherhood thing comes in, you know, the whole me teaching him like, hey, everything I'm teaching you is very important that you teach your son, you know? So I want to take the spotlight off of him. You know, I don't want him to feel like this is all for me. The pressure's on me. No. The pressure's not on you, dude. The pressure is for you. Like, not the pressure, but like, this is so that you can teach your kids, dude, you know? So like, yes, of course, like there's going to be certain unlocks. I'm not just going to like give him his Bitcoin at this age or give him a bunch of money at this age. Like he's going to have to work for it and earn it. And I'm not saying he's necessarily going to be a plumber. I'm going to offer that to him, you know, for him. But whatever he does choose, I will help him on his path, you know, and I'll have the finances to do that. But I mean, I just have to instill in him. This was because of scarcity. And this is because we're building legacy now, you know, like this is a whole different mindset. The work isn't finished. Like you're going to settle. You're just going to settle on what I did. Like, no, bro, like you're on my shoulders, mijo. Like you lift above me. You do what I could never dream of. Like, you know, like I have to set that next bar for him so that he can reach it. and then send his son above him, you know? Like, I feel like if I'm able to build a family culture of success like that, like, it's just going to be programmed in the Gonzalez's just to do that, you know? Like, to set up for the next kid. And obviously, there's going to be a benefit to that, you know? You're going to have a little bit of a nicer lifestyle because dad was able to bust his butt and to earn what he earned. But, you know, so it's not going to come from like starting off on E. I'm just going to explain that to him. Like, hey, man, there's so much more work to do. Like, don't think that just because I got a sub zero that you're good to go and you could just cruise. Like, no, you need to think of stuff that I never even thought of because I'm like a cave dweller, dude. Like, I'm like kind of like a Neanderthal. Like, I just came out the woodwork and God is just about water, you know? Like, you got to be like a sophisticated one to like take us to that next level, you know, and like to really learn about finances. And you never know. You never know. In 10 years, I could be a financial wizard. I'm already learning a whole lot. I want him to get to that next level, you know, and to be able to show his kid what that next level is.
And I also wanted to ask you about the book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I would love to talk about that. So we have this project, me and Tim and Miguel, and they put together this, it's called Generation Bitcoin is a company, right? And I'm a proud ambassador of the company. They came up with this book called the Heirloom Book, right? And it basically has chapters in it and it got me really emotional. Everyone I've shared with it, like basically started crying, right? You can do a recording and you can pick like a why Bitcoin or like what I did on like the biggest dip. And that's what I did. I chose like what I did when I got scared and I got nervous and like my friends on X were like fine, but I was like, bro, this is dropping like a lot, you know? And I shared how I didn't look at this Bitcoin as my Bitcoin. I looked at it as the family's Bitcoin, you know, and like it was my responsibility to hold on to it and to have some kind of conviction. And that's why we created the book, so that we could share why we Bitcoin and the manner in which we do it, so that it's not just like, oh, I pass away and my kids get a bunch of money and they just see money signs and let's go to Vegas and blah, 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 and everything I taught them, right? Yeah, yeah. So it's like multiple chapters and AI prompts. And it gets the questions out of you, you know, and the response out of you that what you're looking for, so that you can. And it's very emotional. Like, I'm listening to him talk in the living room. I'm listening to him play, and I'm talking to him, and I'm like, hey, you just turned 3, you know, and I'm leaving you this Bitcoin because I don't want you to have any kind of financial hardships that I had. And it's a very beautiful project, you know. I'm really passionate about it.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the link is below the video if you want to check it out. So you guys can go do that for your kids and share your family story that way. And, you know, it's just a great way to be able to pass that down so they understand the journey and what you went through. And it took a lot. It took a lot of hard work and knowledge, you know, to get to that point. So it is a recording then. So is it a digital book that people can pass down?
It is a digital book, but they do have they're coming out with like the hard copy where they can get it printed out. They have all kinds of cool little projects too. Like, they have like a storybook where you can like put in your kids' names and then it like creates a story, like a kid's story, you know, and then you can read it and it's like, oh, you have two kids and they're on an adventure together, stuff like that. It's all about Bitcoin parents, you know, and breaking cycles, you know, that's what we're doing here. It's like you could give them all the Bitcoin in the world, but if you don't tell them on why you Bitcoin and why it means so much to me. Like if I was just obsessed with football and my kid would be like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? But like, if I'm able to sit there and explain to him, like, hey, my dad threw a football with, which he didn't, but I'm saying, my dad threw football with me and he took me to all these games and I was super excited. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, so it's important for me to show him like why Bitcoin and why I think it's so important to allocate to this asset, you know?
I think that's a really great project, and I've been meaning to do that myself. I have the link saved, and I definitely want to do that, because it's something that, even since I've started my YouTube channel, I think having videos out there and having conversations with people like you, it gives the kids something to refer back to one day. And I just think documenting your thoughts and your journey, and this is a great way to make it like your story. You know, and just pass that on. Being able to pass this down through generations is a very powerful thing.
I think it's a huge game changer, you know, because my kid's going to see like, hey, my dad works a whole lot. So whatever he puts his time and energy into, he really cares about, you know, like he really thinks about that. Like, he doesn't see me going out to the clubs or trying to make friends or like, no, I'm here with my family, you know, or I'm working. So if he sees me putting effort into this this heirloom book, I feel like he's going to respect it, you know. And if I'm able to teach him what respect means, and I'm able to teach him like, hey man, like, I just need to get it very clear at the very beginning between me and my son, like that give and take of like, hey, everything I'm telling you is not for my ego or because I want to like be right, you know, it's because I want to better your life, kid, you know, like I don't want you to have to go through some of the stuff I went through. And I want to make sure that you succeed, you know.
This is so great to, I mean, this moving and inspirational. And I just cannot believe the journey. I mean, just thinking about how Dirty Hands Clean Money was even prior to Bitcoin. That was just your ethos beforehand. Just finding Bitcoin played into that perfectly because you realize he doesn't have to struggle is so important. And being able to have access to it, being able to be your own bank and not let him or have him have the same issues trying to actually use his own money or your money or the family's money. It's the amazing thing about Bitcoin that you can actually have control.
100%. You know, you have self-custody is very important. And it's like, when I first learned about self-custody, I'm like, I can't even spell that, bro. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds crazy. Like, I'll just trust the government, you know, because that's what I was taught. So like, you're not too dumb for self-custody. You can really learn new things. You can tell yourself all you want, I'm not a tech guy, but you can learn tech. I'm proof. I can't even read that well, you know, like, and I was able to learn how to do self-custody. I check my cold wallets every day. Like, I reached out to the Bitcoin army and like Roll BTC, AA Stacks. Like, I reached out to them. I'm like, how do I do this? You know what I mean? And they're like, just offered their help, took time out of their day to help me, you know what I mean? Or your husband or anybody in the Bitcoin army has been very, very helpful to me, you know? Like, I encourage people to ask those questions. Like, the worst that's going to happen is they're going to tell you that they don't care or not answer you, and you're still in the same situation. You know what I mean?
That's the great thing about having community and how, you know, having the Bitcoin army that we found ourselves in is so great because you can ask a question in the community. You can ask, and if it's not one person, it's another. Somebody else will respond. And if they don't know the answer, they'll tell somebody or they'll tag somebody else in the post and they're willing to help. Like, there's so many people in that community that are full Bitcoiners that want to help, and they enjoy helping each other. So there's always going to be people out there that could actually reach out to you instead of you feeling like you're doing this alone. And I love the Bitcoin army, and I'm so glad we found each other there. And all the people you mentioned, and, you know, Roll has been amazing, Roll Bitcoin, and this and AA Stacks with his, did his community get you smashed by Saturdays with like buying consistently?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Amps people up.
It's crazy, man. It's just not the same ecosystem as I have in LA, you know, like not even close. Like, my buddies are all buying Jordans and going to wherever they go and the clubs at night and going out and just spending money that they're never going to see again. Like, it just poofs into air, you know? And then they're asking for an advance for my boss, like $200-$300 till payday. I'm just saying, like to where like the contrast difference in like me talking to Roll, where he's like, hey bro, you got to pay off this debt so that you're in a good position for your family, you know? And then once you pay off the debt and you can start stacking, make sure you have an emergency fiat fund, like, or not even like that. He's like, hey, this is what I did. This is what I do. It's never like, hey, do this, do that, do that. You know, he's like, this is what I did. And this is how I feel. I feel you can create some kind of stability for you and your family, you know? And I just copy, you know, just like I did the batch back in the day. I just copy. I got my fiat fund. I paid off my debt. I still have my Bitcoin stack. I hooked up my DCA, which I figured out how to do from asking people. So every day I buy 6 times a day, like small amounts, like $750, $10 here, $750, $750, $5.
It's adding up.
Yeah, it's adding up. And now that I'm paying my debts, like, now I can actually go ahead and go for my goal, which would be to like to be a whole coiner by December 31st, you know? Like, that's my goal, to get there so that I could feel like I'm out of, in 1 year, I'm out of debt. You know, I got engaged, you know? I have my emergency fiat fund, and I have like everything set up like for 2027.
That's amazing. And then you got engaged, you have your kid, you know, you're just the debt thing, huge, you know, paying that off. What a freeing feeling. And you're moving forward with your life now. And, you know, the goal of having that you know, the backyard ones, you're retiring early, all this stuff. It's such a hopeful future. And being able to have different priorities in your life than some of the people that you said when you're around, that's what Bitcoin teaches you. Because some people say, well, you can't even hold Bitcoin. It's not tangible. I care more about experiences. I care more about conversations I have with my kids and my husband and being together. And it's not about the stuff. I think that that fiat life teaches you about more stuff and spending more and showing off what you're spending and showing off what you have. But Bitcoin frees you from all that.
100%. You get on for me at least, I got on the path of self-discovery and self-improvement and just bettering myself overall as a man. And it wasn't so that I could live a better lifestyle, but it's definitely an outcome of it. You know, I did it for my kids. And like, I benefited immensely. I personally feel like God's blessed me in my journey. And he's like, hey, you're doing something honorable. So I'm gonna go ahead and hook you up. You know, so like, I feel like that's how mean God talks. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So I feel like, hey, man, like I'm over here and I'm not doing what my dad did. You know, I'm not over here hitting my kids. I'm not over here, like, you know, using drugs around them or having different girls around or like doing all that to them. Like they see me loving their mom. They, you know, me and their mom, we're not perfect, you know, but like they see stability and they feel stability. And I can see it in their eyes when I come home. You know, I can see that they're well taken care of, that they haven't been left around crying, like that they have friends. Like, man, it just like you said, that whole fiat mindset of like, let me flash on these people so they think I have something, you know, like, oh yeah, that, you know, like none of that goes through my head. My thoughts go to like, how can I set my kids up more? Like, yes, I post on Twitter, you know, I post on X, like, oh yeah, but I don't do it because I think I'm cool, believe it or not. I do it because I want somebody to say like, hey, I'm up to my ears in debt. I can't stop using. I don't know how to leave a job. All I do is wash cars. I hate my life. I work for $13 an hour. I get taxed half of it. Like, how am I ever going to get out? I can't breathe. You know, it's like, chill, I got you. This is what I did. I started digging. Boom, get into a trade. Boom, start to pay stuff up. Boom, start to stack Bitcoin. Boom, have a fan. I'm just saying, like, there is a way out, you know? Like, there is a way to be successful, even if you've been losing for decades. That's what I'm trying to say. Like literally decades, dude. Like, chronically homeless. Like, who knows what else, man? Just, like getting peeled off the sidewalk and thrown in the sobering centers. Like, the cops didn't even want to take me to jail anymore. They're just like, dude, just get sober, like, you know what I mean? That's my whole point. Like don't kill the wrong person and end yourself with suffering, you know? Like get through that storm and realize and like tap into that potential that you have, that everybody has in themselves to do better for themselves, you know? And like, find a higher purpose. It's like, if you don't care about yourself, find a higher purpose. That's what I did. Because I'm like, we talked about, I'm selfish and greedy and all this stuff. But when it comes to my kids, I can't be, you know? So like, I found a higher purpose and it really changed my life, you know? It really made me figure it out. Like, how am I going to save this? How am I going to stack this? How am I going to educate my kids? And how am I going to change their future? And it saved my life.
Right. And I know not every person who becomes a parent is like that. But most people, I think when you become a parent, you realize what it's like to care for someone else for the first time. And actually, like, even though at first you care for your partner, you know, and you think that that's, you know, that is something, but when you have a kid, you're like, they depend on you, you know, it's like their life depends on you. So it's a whole different thing. So I think that, yeah, parents have to be selfless to be parents, most of them, you know, and most of the time you do learn. And but I think it does take finding out a better path from somebody. And that's what I love about Bitcoin being open source. And that's what I love about your journey, is that you're open sourcing that journey and you're going to the meetings and you're telling people what you did and how you got, you're coming here, you're telling your story here, you're sharing your story so that people can find out, this was what I did, follow these steps. It's, here's the blueprint. You know, Roel teaching you about, you know, his ways, and, you know, it's just like copy and paste from people that you know in this network that are building our network of working and saving in a better way and how to save your money. This is all just creating a better future for more people. So anybody who comes across this video, hopefully if they're looking for a sign or something, it's powerful what you can do by sharing your voice. So I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you for everything you've overcome, and your energy is so infectious too.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, you know, because you meet all these people in life, and like before in my old life, you know, like everybody always wanted something. There's always like some hidden agenda, or like, how am I going to come up on you or whatever. And like, just to be able to experience the Bitcoin community, I think it's very unique. I think it's a lot different than any other blockchains. I feel like other blockchains are just like trying to steal money from each other. And I feel like we all have our own. So it's like, we're just trying to help. You know what I mean? Like, how can I help this person figure out what I figured out that's bringing me this joy and bringing me this freedom? And that's what the genuine feeling I get from like the other men and women in this community.
Yeah, it really just keeps reminding me constantly about not what Bitcoin can do for me, but what I could do for Bitcoin. Because when Bitcoin is stronger and the network of people are stronger in Bitcoin, it helps everybody. It helps, you know, just strengthen other, like it just helps other people in the world. And you want them to experience the joy that you have now, the decrease of stress and anxiety that you have now, because you have hope for the future. And even prior to finding Bitcoin, you did have hope because you started working, you started putting, like, saving the money and started doing, but this like solidified that. It made it more real. It made it more, you know, more security. You felt like you could actually have freedom this way. And I just think that, yeah, it does strengthen the more we all help each other. And it helps your family too, obviously.
Bitcoin was a catalyst, you know? Bitcoin was like that jumper cable that just went and boom, you know? Just like woke me up, like, wait a minute. Like, I don't have to settle for the government to steal all my money. I don't. Like, I can actually save in this asset. Like, I could save 10 Bitcoin by the time I retire if I really try. It just got like everything was just out of reach, and I was able to finally reach in and grab my future, you know, and grab some kind of control and some kind of freedom for my family, you know, and it would have been halfway possible with just saving money, but like finding an asset like Bitcoin, because you don't need to like get all your financials ready and like have all your, like if you're buying a house or something, you know, like where they look into you a whole bunch before you buy $10 in Bitcoin. Like, no, you can start small and you can start to allocate to it, and you can start to build up and then start putting it in cold storage. And like you said, the DCA, it just starts to add up, man, you know, and like you start to hit your goals. And like, what's the one thing that builds self-esteem? Esteemable acts, you know? So like, if you're saving for your family, and you start to do that, like you start to get a little bit more self-esteem. Like, I started to work out, I started to eat a little bit healthier. Like, it's that journey of self-discovery and self-improvement that like really got kicked off by Bitcoin, you know? And I'm very grateful to Bitcoin for pushing me to want more out of life.
Yes, it pushed you to want more out of life. And I will never forget that description. That is an incredible description of finding Bitcoin. You always hear of it as the orange pill, but I love thinking about it as like, boom, like it's jumper cables. It actually just shook you awake. It shocked you. And yeah, I will not forget that. That's a great way to think of it, because it really is. Like, people talk about once they realize this thing, they wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I have to go check on this thing. Like, I just thought of something, and you're trying to like figure out what this is, and you can't sleep. You're like energized or something. You know what I mean? I feel like it is, it reminds me more of a shock, like a jumper cable thing, like electricity.
Got it. You know, you're just like, wait a minute, like this thing that they're printing, I can trade for like a hard asset that's going to like just the increase in so much in value as everything else is decreasing. Like, it's just hedged against this inflation. Like, as the Fed, like the Fed Reserve is just like, you know, the interest rates are like, you know, like what, 4%, 5%. And then like, and then you get a credit card in the mail and it's like 35%, you know? And I'm just like, dang, you guys are just going to take 30% from me like that? Like, obviously I'm not going to sign up for something like that, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's just crazy how they're robbing.
It's crazy because they really are the gangsters, you know? So when you think back to how your dad would teach you about life, he was like, guess what? Don't do what they do, because they're probably gangsters and they steal from us and we don't need to follow their rules. But then you do that and you realize, okay, they're such gangsters that they attack me for everything I do anyway. Plus, it's not sending your life down a good direction. But then you find out about Bitcoin and you realize, and hard work, you know, dirty hands, clean money. You find out about Bitcoin too. And you just realize that, you know, you can get outside of that system of gangsters, and you know what I mean? It's like you are actually free now. So it's like you're, what you were doing, the way your life started off, you were in this like, I don't want to call it a gang, but that's what it felt like, that community of people that did a certain thing. And then you have the government who's a gang, and then they're ganging up on you too. And then Bitcoin's outside of all that.
I feel like Bitcoin makes everything I'm doing attractive to my son. Like, I feel like it's going to be like, all this makes sense because at the end, my dad wins. You know what I mean? It's really hard to push hard work when at the end you lose.
Yes, you know what I mean? 100%.
So when I'm able to be like, look, and then it turns into this magic orange coin that is going to just, that you can take on this little drive and put it anywhere. And it's nobody's business, you know, and you earn this money. No one's going to tell you that you got it from ill-gotten gains because it's dirty hands, clean money, right? So like, it just like, I'm telling you, it was like jumper cables. It was like this epiphany, like, dude, this is what I'm going to do in life. And like, I'm going to put everything I can. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, you know, and we all fail. It is what it is. But I'm telling you, I'm going to put 100, just how I put all my effort into getting loaded back in the day, I'm going to put all my effort into stacking this Bitcoin for my kid. Every time I hug my son before I go to sleep, if I kiss his little head, I tell him dad's going to go get him some more Bitcoin, because that's how much I believe in it. You know, that's how much I think that it's going to change his life and my descendants, man. I'm going to be the first grandpa around, right? I'm going to be the first grandpa that has a bunch of assets that's going to be able to help my grandkids in their life, you know, and not just with finances, but like with knowledge, you know. They're going to be like, hey, my grandpa had it going on and my dad really respects my grandpa, you know, like, so maybe there's something to it. Maybe I should listen to this guy and hopefully he's doing a good enough job where we could team up and really, I always tell my son, man, hey, dude, you're the curse breaker, dude. Like me and you were a team. Like, we're going to do, and he's right. He's like 3.5. He doesn't know what I'm saying, but I'm talking, like, we're a team, dude. Like, this is how we break the curse together. It needs me and you. It can't just be me, you know? So like, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
It is really, I love that you think of it that way too, because that's what I was thinking. I was actually thinking about that before, how, you know, together because of him being born and because of you, you know, it's like, the two of you together is what's the reason for this. So that's amazing that you said that. And also, you're such a great speaker, and the way that you describe things is, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know the words for it, but it's so powerful and it's fun the way you describe it. And you're really good at speaking. And I'm so glad that you are not just speaking for, you know, at rehab for people who are trying to get out of the situation. Cause yes, that is so helpful and powerful to people who want to get out. But you should continue speaking. You're great at it. You really can spread the message in a powerful way. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story.
Of course. Of course. I've been wanting to come on. We finally did it. I'm really happy. I'm really happy with how it came out. You know, I'm really happy with what we spoke about. And I just hope that someone who is struggling and about to give up sees this and goes, wait a minute. Maybe I should give this another chance. Maybe I shouldn't give up today. Hey, you can give up tomorrow, bro. You can give up tomorrow. Hey, don't give up. You know, and then tomorrow, you can give up tomorrow, bro. You get what I'm saying? Like just put one foot forward. And ultimately, I was a loser for decades. Like, I came out on top. You know, that's my story.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Have a really great day.
You too.